You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at BasketballMonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at RedRock_Beeball and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Today in our mini show, going to be doing the usual thing and looking at waiver wire ads, but of course some tragic news has hit in the NBA, so I'm going to be talking about that as well. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed. Now, if you want a full podcast on Kobe Bryant, I just recorded Locked On NBA today with Anthony Irwin and with Tim Bontemps. So you can go and check it out there. We talk for about 25 minutes on Kobe and his impact across the league. But I'll just give a couple of thoughts here. Of course, you know, Kobe is a guy whose impact is worldwide. It's global. It's across basketball. It's across other sports. Everybody knows the name Kobe Bryant. It's the number one news item here in Australia on the radio this morning. That's the big impact that it has right across the globe, not on sports stations, just regular music stations. That is the number one thing that's happening across the world. There is obviously bad things in Kobe's past, and there's no denying that. But the way that he has been a champion for women's sports in his retirement, the love he had for his daughters and his family was undeniable. His ability as a basketball player was fantastic, and we can chirp about whether he's top 10 or top 5 or top 15 or any of that sort of stuff, and about how many of the 5 rings were his and how much did Shaq carry him and all that sort of stuff, which is really not important at all in this point. At this point, there's no point talking about rankings and legacy and all those sort of things. Kobe is a global and cultural icon. He has impacted the world in many ways. Kobe sneakers, my favorite sneakers. Actually, they are my favorite one. I've got multiple pairs of Kobe's. That is, you know, impacts all throughout the world across multiple different sports as well. The impact that this guy has had is tremendous. Horrible news with his daughter Gigi being in the helicopter crash as well, that claimed their lives as well as the lives of another player from her team and a parent and the helicopter pilot. All 5 of the people on the helicopter did not survive that crash, which occurred a couple of hours ago now at the time of recording. One thing I thought I'd look at, just because, you know, this is a fantasy basketball podcast, but looking at the ranks of Kobe throughout the years. His first year, okay, he played 15 minutes and the 202nd ranked player outside the top 100 the next year. But then from 98-99 up until when he up until the 12-13 season, he was on a per game basis a top 15 player every single season outside of one, the 10-11 year when he was the 18th ranked player. He ranked 13th, 9th, 1st, 12th, 1st, 8th, 7th, 2nd, 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 5th, 9th, 18th, 7th, and 6th. And that year where in 12-13 when he was the 6th ranked player, he was 34 years of age, played 39 minutes a game, averaged 27 points, almost 6 rebounds, exactly 6 assists and 1.4 steals, getting to the line 8 times, hitting 84% of his shots. Like, they are absolutely elite numbers for any player, let alone a player at the age of 34. He was one of the best, if not the best, players in terms of hitting tough contested mid-ranges. And we talk about the Kobe-fication of players' games and how they will look for these tough mid-ranges because they want to be Kobe and they want to hit turnarounds and step-backs and game winners. The reason he did it is because he could do it. These other guys can't necessarily do it, and that's, I guess, where that criticism comes in. But obviously a horrible day in the NBA a couple of weeks after the passing of David Stern as well. Two absolute icons of the game gone in the span of a couple of weeks. More thoughts and recollections of Kobe over on that Locked On NBA show that I just did. So you can go check that out for thoughts with Anthony and Tim over there. Let's talk, though, waiver wire ads now. It is, of course, with a pretty heavy heart that you look at all this stuff, and it is just a deflating day. No matter what you think about Kobe, it is just a deflating day. To have that sort of news come across as a bloke who's only a couple of years older than me, his daughter's 1 year older than my son, and it really does, you know, hit home, you know, really close that sort of thing happens when people are around your age and you've grown up your whole life with them being a part of what you do. That is a really big part of all of that, of course. So let's, you know, now transition and look at some waiver wire players. First guy I want to talk about is Marquese Chriss of the Golden State Warriors. Willie Cauley-Stein is gone. Chriss is there on a two-way, and he started the last game at center. One thing that's never been in doubt with Marquese Chriss, that when he plays, he puts up numbers. And I have said this over and over and over again, my friend. That has happened plenty of times. But the problem is he's been so bad on the court and commits the stupidest of stupid fouls that he couldn't stay on. That has changed a bit this season. He has been much improved, and you give him credit for that. And yes, he's on a two-way, but the way that the two-ways work, since he was signed, he's got 45 more days. The 45-day restriction ends in about the middle of March when the G League regular season finishes. And after that, you play as many games as you want. So I think he's going to play in pretty much every game from here on out. There's going to be no two-way day issues that we had with Damian Lee, with Kai Bowman. That's not going to be an issue here with Chris. Whether they start him over Spellman remains to be seen. It's probably going to be a three-man, maybe four-man center rotation. Chris, Spellman, Alan Smilagic is going to get more minutes. And remember that boy Kevon Looney? Maybe we see him again. I've got no idea. Maybe he plays again at some point. But if Chris is starting over Spellman and playing 25 minutes, he's the guy that you want. So I think that he is absolutely worth taking a look at as a waiver wire add. Let's go to my mate,
Maximum Derek.
Maximum Derek White. Now, I probably seem stupid in the preseason when I said I think that Derek White is a better player than DeJounte Murray. I know that I seem stupid when I said that I think that they will play them both together and that White will get to 30 minutes because it hasn't happened. Derek White has only played 24 minutes a game this season, barely playing alongside DeJounte Murray. But he's still just barely outside the top 150 for the season. And the last few games for Maximum Derek have been really, really good. He has significantly outplayed DeJounte Murray. He is getting 27 to 28 minutes a night. He's getting assists. He's blocking shots. He's hitting steals. He's knocking down his shots. He's not doing it at stupendously high rates. 48% from the field, 44% from three. That's not stupid. In 25 minutes, he's the 53rd ranked player. This is absolutely a top 50 upside guy. Now, will he be able to maintain a 20% usage, which he hasn't been close to? That's not crazy, though. He's blocking a shot a game. Again, for him, not outrageous. 1.5 steals, not outrageous. 13 points in 1-3, not outrageous. He could be a top 50 guy. He probably isn't. But I think with how things are going, you add him. Let's see what happens. He could very easily go back to 20 minutes next game and DeJounte plays 28. I don't think there's any, and I'm recording this before the Spurs game takes place or before the Spurs game finishes on Sunday, so that could have actually happened. But I think we just got to have a look at Derek White and see where that ends up going. Vanilla Tice of the Boston Celtics has been absolutely rolling. Enes Kanter's out with a foot injury. Robbie Williams is out with a hip injury, but that's not really why he's a guy to roster. It's the fact that he's better than all those players. He's putting up big numbers. He's blocking shots. He's scoring better. The minutes are pushing up. He is the unquestioned starter to me in Boston. And over the last 2 weeks, he's the 51st ranked player, averaging 11 and 5. Yes, it's because he's getting two blocks and shooting 67%. By far his best categories. But they're happening. They're not outrageous because he's been 54 and 1.5 blocks all season. So why can't he be 1.5 blocks on 55% shooting and be close to a top 100 guy? I think he can be. I think he's been a 14-team league guy most of the season. He's absolutely in that 12-team league discussion now. Lord Alfred Payton, significantly under-rostered. I don't know what the Knicks are going to do with their backcourt, with their point guard spot, but he's putting up numbers, and he's available in 22% using our advanced league metrics. Rostered just 28% overall in Yahoo. The assists themselves are valuable. He rebounds. He can get steals. I think he's a must-roster guy in every single league, and he is available in far too many. Trevor Ariza is an interesting one. His first game was likely a huge anomaly, so while he's a waiver wire ad, he's also a sell high. That came without CJ McCollum. He banged in a lot of threes. He hit a lot of points, or he scored a lot of points. What I think we look at him to be is a steals specialist, but if he's going to play 34 minutes a night, he's going to get enough steals there to be a 12-team league guy. He won't get that many shots. He won't hit them at that level, and he won't score that often as he did in that first game for the Blazers. That's all pretty much guaranteed, I think. But the ability to get steals in 30 minutes a night, he can be a 1.5 to 1.7 steals guy. That's valuable enough. This is not a guy that's going to all of a sudden come in and be a 48% shooter when his defensive chops have gone and his shooting ability has fallen way off. You're going to get some hot streak type stuff. But that still means he can have that steals value especially. De'Anthony Melton, still just stuck, but the minutes are trending up. Jay Crowder is also trending down because he...
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
Melton's the 132nd ranked player this season in 18 minutes. He's getting 23 or 24 at the moment. He's getting steals. He's getting assists. It's like a Chris Dunn type of value. He's hitting free throws. He's scoring big on some games. He blocks shots at an above average rate. He should be on 12-team league rosters. It doesn't have to be yours. The upside is low, but with how they're running things, with Crowder being really marginalized, Melton's pushing up. And if they continue to do that, which they probably should, then that value could rise into the top 100. Same goes for Jeremy Grant, who took an injury to Paul Millsap and now to Mason Plumlee for him to really step up, but he stepped up. So while those guys are out, you grab him. It could be a short-term thing, but it also may not be. So while I probably should have had him in more of a short-term situation here, Jeremy Grant at the moment is putting up strong numbers. Now, he's been shit all season, outside the top 220. There's no denying that. And the minutes just weren't there. But at the moment, there's two spots. There's Plumlee's 20 minutes. There's Millsap's 24 minutes to go with what the 22 minutes that Grant was already playing. So there is some upside there in Jeremy to take those minutes for this short term, and then we'll see where that goes. But for now, he's putting up really, really good numbers. Shabazz Napier, a guy we've got to talk about. He is up and down. He is probably still more of a fringe guy, and I don't think he's locked in to be the starting point guard for the Timberwolves all season. But there is value in using him at the moment, and he's putting up good numbers, as is the painter Matisse Thybulle. There is no Josh Richardson. There is no Joel Embiid. I think they're going to keep Thybulle in the high 20s, even when everyone comes back. His ability to get steals and blocks is literally unparalleled. Nobody can do them in this sort of a quantity. So he has value. He's available in tons of leagues. It may not be of use to you. It may not be. The steals and blocks might not be useful. But he should not be on a waiver wire in any 12-team league. And probably 10-team leagues. If he's getting 30 a night, he probably is a top 100 guy as we end up moving forward here. Still got a bunch of other guys now. McCall Bridges, similarly, another steal specialist. There's a bunch of steal specialists here around. Bridges is one of those guys who's playing 30-plus a night now for the Suns, especially with Bane sideline and Šarić moving over to center a little bit more. We're getting more McCall Bridges. He's playing well. He doesn't do much apart from steals, but that's working. And the same goes for the big ragu, Dante DiVincenzo. You want some steals, DiVincenzo's that guy. And like D'Anthony Melton, he's a 22 to 23 minute a night guy who's a top 130 player over the course of the season. Wes Matthews is continuing to struggle. They should just give Dante 30 minutes a night, but they won't. But if they do, then that top 80 is absolutely a chance. And then another bloke who's a steal specialist, Chris Dunn, who has really... I've been critical of Chris Dunn. He's not a starting point guard. He's a horrible offensive player. But I really like when a guy realizes that. And again, it's a real positive from him and the coaching staff. I go, well, this is what you do. Go out there and just play defense. We know your shot's bad. We know you can't run an offense. Don't do it. So he hasn't done it. But he gets steals. He still gets 3 or 4 assists, and that is insanely valuable for fantasy. So he should not be on a waiver wire either. He's the 103rd ranked player in only 25 minutes a game. I'm not sure we see Otto Porter again this season, and Dunn is going to maintain those pretty decently high minutes. Darius Garland's going through a bit of a rough patch at the moment, but I think he should be on all rosters as well. And then we go to a trio of Mavericks with the season-ending news to Dwight Powell and then a trade for Willie Cauley-Stein. DeLon Wright has played almost 30 minutes in each of the last two games. If he's a 30-minute-a-night guy, he is a must-roster player. Maxi Kleber, it's been a disappointing return, but I think he's still probably a 12-team league hold, while Willie Cauley-Stein could go one of two ways. Cauley-Stein was a borderline guy in the 23-24 minutes he was playing with the Warriors. Now he goes to a team where his usage will be less and his minutes might actually be less as well. Maybe he comes and just plays 18 minutes and doesn't play the 27 that Power played. And this is a guy, also, remember, that has never been a top 100 player. I don't think he's ever been a top 120 player, despite being a 27 to 28 minute a night starter for the Sacramento Kings. Yes, his defensive stats are up this season, but that doesn't necessarily mean they continue in Dallas. Dwight Powell was not the greatest of rim protectors. That was KP's job, so maybe Cauley-Stein doesn't get that opportunity. But again, if you want to take a flyer on him, you do it. See where it pans out, but it's far from a guarantee that he comes in and plays 27 and he's a top 100 guy. In fact, I think I'd be pretty surprised to see Cauley-Stein be this, you know, guaranteed top 100 player. Other bunch of guys here. Reggie Jackson putting up some numbers while Luke Kennard is out. His usage is through the roof. He's shooting really well. The minutes are still a bit of a worry, but a short-term guy, absolutely. He has some value, as with Svi Mykhailiuk, who is putting up, you know, 2 to 3 triples a game. Really good streaming value for him at the moment. And then Landry Shamet of the Clippers. While Paul George is sidelined, Shamet is putting up some really strong scoring and three-point shooting numbers. It helps that Beverly's out as well. He had a 6-assist game the other day. All that stuff is not likely to continue, but for the short term, there is some value in him. We go to Timothy John McConnell of the Pacers with Malcolm Brogdon out. There's value there in McConnell as well. So he is a guy that we can take a look at in that scenario. And Malik Beasley with the Jamal Murray injury has probably more of a deeper league one. I think I've got Malik Monk here as a short-term guy, but it's more of a flyer type. The last two games have been really good. He does have a decently valuable fantasy game. So if you've got some open roster spots and you want to take a flyer on someone, I like Monk in that spot. I think we can look at Seth Curry as an interesting short-term piece who's may last all season, but it's more likely just going to be a back-and-forward type scenario. In terms of how they run that rotation, especially when Cauley Stein arrives. But he has been really, really good the last couple of games. Thad Young, while Lauri Markkanen is out, he is a 12-team league guy. And Larry Nance, putting up really good numbers. They're limiting Tristan Thompson for some reason at the moment, which is having an impact and boosting Nance's numbers up. We hold him until the trade deadline and see exactly what they do. If he plays 26 a night, he has 12-team value in his own right. We just don't know whether that will remain the case. But for now, we just add Nance and we see exactly where this all goes with the Cavs. And then some flyer types. I've got Christian Wood on this list. We just add him. It might be poor production until we see what happens at the deadline, but you add him and see where it goes. Same as the triangle, Eric Paschal. If anything happens with Draymond Green and an injury, he's like a flyer type that they might play some more minutes later in the season. Shake Milton, getting minutes with Josh Richardson out, started the last game. That's more of a deeper league flyer. And if it's a Zubats, if anything does happen with Montrezl Harrell, Zubats most likely would be a beneficiary. It depends on what other center they bring back. And then in New York, if Marcus Morris and Reggie Bullock do end up getting traded, Damian Dotson's a deeper league guy, a bit of a flyer type who could step in, play 30 minutes, give us 15, 16 points with 2 or 3 triples, and that has some value there. Of course, that will do it for me today, guys. Hopefully, you got some important information out of this show. And again, this news, it's a tragic day in the NBA world with the news of Kobe Bryant and his passing. I'll be back later on to recap all of Sunday's action and preview Monday's games. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.